My name is Tom Holsinger Fuchs, and my wife and I, Pam, who's right back there working on crafts, we're the staff coordinators here at Holden Village. And when we began to plan for this Advent retreat, I sort of asked if I could do a session. It's not something that I normally do, but I was real interested in Advent and real interested in what sort of things we could do with Advent. And so Catherine said that the one that was left was remembrance, remembering Advent. And I said, why not? You know, I'll take that. So that's kind of how I got here. I'm from Minnesota, and I came out here. We've been out here a year and a half. We'll be here for a total of 2 years, so we'll leave about July. And it's been an exciting time. It's been part of a journey for me to be at Holden Village and to be part of this whole process in terms of my own spirituality and I think the spirituality of the village. This session is part of, let's see, what are we going to do tonight? And this all made sense to me before I started here. Can anybody remember Advent? That's the name of this title. Can anybody remember Advent? And can anybody remember any real specific things about Advent? Just kind of throw those things out. Are there specific things that you remember about Advent?
Counting days.
Counting days, exactly. By candle?
Calendars.
Calendar days.
Only a little window.
Oh.
All the Advent calendars my daughter's ever had.
Exactly. did anybody have, excuse me?
Never mind.
No, go ahead.
But I just don't throw the Advent calendars that she's had, I don't throw away, I bring them out.
Uh-huh.
I have them all.
So every year, you get a new one, Elizabeth? Is that right? Elizabeth?
As I remember, I used to get a new one from my godmother. But then, as I got older, I don't remember getting one from her in the past 5 years, maybe, but I remember getting those from her.
Yeah. Other remembrances of Advent?
We made a calendar and a date for the numbers we had little pockets behind them. And each pocket was a little symbol that we made from felt, and it had something on the back so that you could stick it on to the rest of the calendar. And by the time Christmas came, the tree would be all decorated that's on the calendar.
Okay.
So you could open only one pocket per day.
And did yours ever have, yours never had candy, right? I think we did.
No.
Never. How about yours? Did yours ever have?
No, I don't think so. Well, the only one I remember is one that had candy. It had a little chocolate. So, you know, I think it was enticing every day.
I think most of us remember Advent really only as an anticipation time. Kind of the countdown, you know, let's count down to Christmas, you know, let's anticipate things that are bigger and better. And it generally, at least in my family, had to do with kind of what we were anticipating, what we wanted for Christmas, what sort of material things or what sort of processes our family was going to go through at Christmas. And I think that that's a real standard way that Advent is looked at. But I'm going to try and challenge that tonight. And I think that in some ways we need to move back a little bit towards looking at the whole idea of the journey that Mary was on in this whole process, and also Joseph, but certainly more Mary, of Christmas, the crisis of that the anticipations never were fulfilled and the expectations were never met. And just as a personal example, I wanted a Danny O'Day doll, and I talked about this when I was Danny O'Day was a ventriloquist doll, and it was like a Charlie McCarthy doll, and in it, it said things about throwing your voice, amaze your friends, you know, the Charlie or Danny O'Day doll. And I mean, it was like the thing I wanted the most in the world. And the strange thing was that I got it. I got the doll, and I'll tell you more about that in a little bit, but it was really one of those times when the expectation and the anticipation didn't live up to what I was. Does everybody kind of understand that? Mm-hmm. I'm going to play some Christmas music. We don't normally play Christmas music before Christmas, but I think that that's also part of most of our heritage, to have Christmas music. And so I just want you to just spend 5 minutes thinking about... other questions?
Thinking about what? No, that's what you're...
I want you to come up with words, feelings around Christmas and around Advent and anticipation. And then... words, feelings about Christmas, and then things you wanted as a child.
For Christmas?
For Christmas. Mm. Yeah. Are there questions?
Is that the focus of the anticipation?
Yeah, just the anticipation is really what I want to talk about, but I think that so often it's so intricately tied to, Christmas is so intricately tied to Advent, that anticipation, and we're going to talk more about that. Okay, this will all work out. Believe me. Well, I hope at least. Here's pencils. Here's paper. I'll hand out some Bibles or some LBWs, and then you can write on LBWs. If you have a pen, you don't need to use one. I'm fine.
What are you doing?
Yeah, I need some.
Just help me.
Yeah. Are you going to do anything?
You're going to keep these pieces of paper, thank you. Yes. If you have a journal, and if you'd like to write in that, these are not things that are going to be graded or handed in or anything like that. So please feel free to kind of think about what sort of anticipation you had.
Paper for somebody?
Just expectation.
it to finish it. Was that pretty successful? Did people feel like they could move back a little bit into their childhood and kind of, yes, no, some people are kind of a little bit hesitant. Some people aren't going to finish like Pamela. She's just writing away. What I'd like you to do now is I would like you to get back with the person that you just met or the group of three people that you just met and talk a little bit about those feelings. The feelings associated with prior to Christmas. I'm especially interested in the anticipation, the expectations, the feelings, the rituals that were involved in your life. Okay? People.
To me, I never got out of my childhood, but there was a mystery. As I suppose Thanksgiving was over, there was a feeling of mystery towards Christmas, and I think that's what I'm missing today, is a need to recapture that special feeling. Maybe because we were living way out, away from any city. We were farmers living out on the farm, and not being able to get in on the stuff that you have today, and I think that was the advantage, that mystery that was there.
Good, excellent point. Yeah, mystery is one of those really important things. Yes?
You know, a word that came to my mind, and I guess I'll have to explain what I mean, is that every year I believed in magic. I always thought that things would get fixed and better and resolved, and this would be the year when everything would come together. You know, mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean by that?
Miracles.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, miracles.
Mm-hmm, miracles.
I mean, this would be the year that I actually would get the perfect present or give the perfect one or do everything the right way, or everybody would be happy and nobody would fight at dinner, or, you know, something.
Yes.
Anybody? But it never happens.
It never happens. No. I mean, did anybody ever get the perfect gift?
Yes, I got one perfect Christmas was at Holton 3 years ago. That was my best Christmas ever.
Adult.
Ever. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. How about?
I got a perfect present.
Did you?
Our son was born on the 10th of December.
Wow.
And so we had this boy that we hadn't expected to have. Like having a couple girls. We had this boy, and we were all ready for Christmas and Thanksgiving time. And so we had a whole month of just waiting without any responsibilities, just waiting. It was beautiful.
Well, my daughter was born the week before Christmas, and she was supposed to be born after. So it was really, there was nothing for the baby. I felt terrible. I mean, that wasn't anything. She had to wear an old hand-me-old for her brother. And you know, that was awful. I didn't feel good enough to go shopping.
Yeah.
She thought I didn't know.
Exactly.
So
that was your expectations,
yeah.
Though. Certainly, I mean that's.
Well, I think I discovered something here, that the four things that I put down that were most important to me all had to do with scarcity, that couldn't be recreated now. And what they were real quickly was the chance to go out and play in the snow, which only happened every, you know, 4 or 5 years.
Snow's a big
thing.
The
chance to go out and look at the display windows. Well, nowadays, the stores are open incredible hours before Christmas, and all the kids in the world get to go see anything they want. Whereas we had to find one special day and go, and I remember as a child that the stores weren't even open. You had to go walk on the streets and go to the big corner windows of Bon Marché and Frederick and Nelson to see those. And then two more of them were driving around and looking at the lights on homes. Not very many people have, so you had to go to the rich neighborhood to see the lights on homes. And then the other one is at the Christmas program at church, which was very important to us. We would get a bag or a stocking with nuts and apples and oranges and that kind of stuff in. I got a...
And that ribbon candy that went like this?
Yeah.
That?
Yeah.
About that light that you could never suck on?
The funny thing is, by myself, I would never go get any of that stuff. I would never think of that as something that I wanted to have. And yet, because it came from that Santa Claus after the Christmas program, it was real important. And I have good memories about that.
Good. Good.
I did something that I don't think you can do anymore. And that was that I would walk home from work in the dark as a teenager for a mile, and I'd walk through the city park, and the snowflakes would be falling, and the church would be ringing out the Christmas carols, and I was all alone, and it was peaceful and beautiful. And I just suddenly realized tonight, you know, our children will never know that freedom that I had as a teenager.
Except around Holden Village.
Yes.
You can walk around
Holden Village for Christmas.
Other reactions? Kind of the anticipation? I think snow is like one of the bigger ones. For it looks like everybody's kind of doing this, unless you're from California or something like that.
It's really
from
hard
California.
For,
yeah, I do.
I mean, I always got
great. Won't you get Christmas break?
They let him out at Christmas. Don't worry, Pat. I work at colleges. We kick them out at Christmas. Yeah. I think the point that I want to make about this is that I think so many of us sort of built some huge expectations into Christmas, and so many of those things were around what we didn't have. And just talking in here for 5 minutes, we start to talk about things we did have. And the magical anticipation of the birth of Christ, of that involvement. Did anybody ever set up the wise men way over across the room, and then every day move them a little bit closer? And see, that was part of, I mean, after thinking about it, and that was part of what we did or tried to do. I had 7 brothers and sisters, so half the time we couldn't find the wise men. I'm in my room tonight, you know. So, I mean, I think that all these things sort of work to kind of bring back some reality about how special Christmas can be, and how a lot of you talk about doing without. I think Christmas, in some ways, has to go back to doing without rather than doing with and with and with and with. And I know Pat and Vicki were here last Thanksgiving, and you used Advent and started some of the Advent stuff. Do you want to talk at all about kind of that, those feelings? I know that I put you on the spot, I'm sorry.
I'll talk briefly. It just helped us center more on the specialness of preparation outside of commercialism, especially with 3 small children, sharing some of those things with them, getting away from the shopping malls and so on. It was, and that's why we're back here this Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. It was just a neat preparation time for us.
I think one of the things too that, maybe somebody's doing something with this Advent season, but the idea of the Advent box, and I know Jeanette Hasterud does it, and Susan and Martin that led the retreat last year, that's something that we
go ahead and explain it, because I don't think...
Just putting things that are meaningful to your family in a box for Advent, and bringing those things out as preparation for Advent instead of bringing all of the Christmas decorations and things out. Those can be things... like the nativity scene, trying to think of some of the other books, songs, Advent calendars, And just over the years, keeping those in a special box, and on the first Sunday in Advent, bringing those out, and that can kind of be a new tradition.
Yeah, I think you can start those traditions. I mean, this place gives you permission to start those traditions again, and I encourage you to start doing those things. I need to move on real quick because I'm running way behind, as normal. I'd like just give you a minute or so, kind of present reality. I'd like you to list three things you're waiting for today. Just three things that you're waiting for. Those can be as big as small as I want a new pair of boots, to as big as I want world peace, or for Christmas. Things we're waiting for, and they can be in a larger scope, things you're hoping for in your life, but kind of in the anticipatory sort of things. What kind of things are you waiting for in your life? I don't want to restrict you by just saying Christmas time. What are you waiting for in your life? We're going to keep moving because we're almost out of time. People come up with three things.
Two
things? It's doing pretty well. One thing? Maybe. This is going to be kind of a leap, but I think that, just in terms of my thought process, but I think the faith story and the birth story is that it's magical. There's a magical element to that, and I think that that's something that we just sort of get lost in. It's not part. It doesn't make sense. God, an angel came down and to Mary, and Mary was a nobody. I mean, she was a in relationship to the hierarchy of the church, in relationship to the world, in relationship to the country, in relationship to the town she lived in. Mary was nothing. But yet God chose Mary, you know? I mean, there's the magic. There's the magic of the birth. There's the magic of the anticipation. Can you imagine the anticipation if something, an angel spoke to you and said, you are going to have a baby? I mean, for me, it'd be even more incredible. But I mean, you know, and I just think that, you know, so often we lose that. We lose the incredibleness of, can you imagine the anticipation of being impregnated by a superior being? That, I mean, that sounds really weird, but that's what happened. And can you imagine the sort of thoughts and fears that Mary would have had to have gone through in 9 months of pregnancy and labor, and I just think that the sheer magic of that is what we need to kind of bring back. That's what we need to search for in our life. We need to make something in our life. We need to know that God is calling us, that God is asking us to do things. And whatever you wrote on your paper, those two things, those three things, those one things, I think are things that God is asking us to do. Asking me to do, asking you to do. I'll just share one example with you. I've never, ever been politically motivated. Yes, I've never. It's never been a big deal to me whether or not they cut down all the wood in the forests. They cut down all the old growth. And I've sort of come alive with some of its rage, some of its I can't understand why people don't understand, some of its I miscommunicate, I get angry, I really think that that's what's happening, that God is telling me that I need to take action on an issue. And all of you, can somebody else share one issue that they wrote down, large or small? One thing.
Settlement of the Persian Gulf crisis.
Settlement of the Persian Gulf crisis. Excellent, excellent example. And what does Jesus say? It talks about loving your neighbor, loving those people who don't love you. You know, when was the last time we sat down and said a prayer for Saddam and Hussein? And it doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. But that's where we need to start making the changes. That's where we need to start anticipating and hoping for change. And that can also be in writing a letter to him, or writing a letter to George Bush and saying, you know, we need to settle this. How many people here are concerned about the Persian Gulf crisis? I mean, everyone is. How many people here have written a letter to your congressman or your president or one of those persons about your concern? Good. There are some. This is a highly motivated group. I mean, but so often we're not doing those things. And I think that the anticipation of Christmas can be the anticipation of roles and workings and journeys that we have to make. Yes?
Well, and it's very important that we want it to be settled peacefully. There's a lot of people not in this kind of peer group that want it to be settled forcefully, which won't settle anything.
Right.
We want it to be settled.
It'll feel good.
Excuse me?
I'm just sort of building on the Frank's idea. Feel good.
Because it would feel good.
Yeah, kick their butt.
Kick going and kick butt.
It seems like those people are the ones that are vocal. Because most of the ones that, you know, I've heard about, you know, you've been announced on the radio.
Yeah, but there's a lot of very important, rational, intelligent people that are in our government and that write columns in the newspaper that are calling for the entire removal of that entire culture, basically. They're talking about getting rid of the Hussein war machine. I finally heard something good. The guy said, we shouldn't be concerned about winning that war. We should be concerned about losing it. Because what are we going to do, impose a sort of a Quisling government on those people?
Yeah. Perfect example of something. In light of, this is what I wrote, in light of the Advent journey you're on, and you're on today, how can you make your dream come true, or what you want come true? And I think you just have to take the first step. And does everybody have at least one thing that they think they can focus on to take one step? I mean, one thing that you want to take a step on? That could be writing a letter. It could be joining the Sierra Club. That could be doing something to start to make a change in it. And I think that I don't think that it has to be reasonable. I mean, I think that the more unreasonable it is, the better it is. If you can say a prayer for Saddam and Hussein, I think you should. And I guess I do. And I say a prayer for every person that's over there, because I think that it's an incredibly tough situation to be in, you know, and we have a government that is thinking kind of plain. I don't want to even get into it. So what I'm saying is you need to take one step. This, make a pledge to yourself, spend a minute after this is all over and write down just one step. You can do it. You wouldn't believe the difference it'll make in your life when you take the first step. And you know, Mary's job was not over when Jesus was born. I mean, her job started when Jesus was born. She had to train him. She had to teach him. She had to mother him. She had to discipline him. I mean, we have all these really kind of fuzzy little expectations about, and look at the image of Christ in the manger. The kid is 7 years old. You know, perfect. It's already growing up. It's ready to go in the temple at 12. Think about all the preparation and the work that she went through, and that anticipation. And I think that'll help. That helps all people in anticipation for Christmas. I think you can give yourself a gift. And I encourage that. I think that magic of Christmas, the anticipation, is alive in all of us. And we only need to begin to open it up and allow ourselves the freedom to do what we need to do. As foolish as that sounds, as strange as it sounds, and as simple, as truly simple as that sounds, we need to just take one step in movement. How's that? Let's see. You can start by remembering this Advent journey right now. Allow yourself to be an instrument. Now think about that. God is everywhere. Whatever you do to the least of my brothers, that you do unto me. There are so many hunger causes. There are so many homelessness situations. There are so many things in the world that need our magic. And I believe that all of you have that magic. Go out and give it. Go out and give that love, whatever it takes. And I think that it is love. I don't think that there's anything more important in our lives than the love that we can give to whatever sort of thing or issue or person that we can come up with. I don't have anything else. Does anybody have any other points they'd like to make? Or
go across the street and write a letter.
Go across the street and write a letter. Do something. Just do something. And you're only going to get, and if you don't get anything out of it, if there's no magical feelings, you know, I'll refund your money for this session. Just kidding. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.